Notice I didn't ask if any of you have ever been distracted in church during a sermon. I'm not sure I want to know the answer to that. Just before our gospel text today, in which Jesus speaks publicly about the coming destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, Jesus and his disciples were there in the temple and they encountered something ordinary, something plain. They encountered a poor widow who put her last two small copper coins into the temple treasury. Do you remember that story, the story of the widow's mite? That poor widow, Jesus told his disciples, put in her last two coins on earth, all that she had to live on. She gave all to the temple. In fact, Jesus commented to his disciples in that teaching that this widow put in more than all the rest of the people because the rest of the people gave out of their abundance. This widow gave out of her poverty. And that scene, the one right before this, inside the temple courts where the widow made her offering, that scene is vital to understanding this scene, our gospel lesson today. A scene in which Jesus predicts the downfall of the temple. So on the one hand, we have a widow who has put all she has to live on into the temple treasury. On the other hand, we have the disciples. And they interrupt Jesus' teaching on the widow. And what do they want to talk about? Not about the poor widow Jesus wants them to discuss. They want to talk about the magnificent stones and gifts present in the temple. Perhaps Jesus knew that a temple built using the last pennies that widows had to live on couldn't stand for long. Still, we have this striking contrast between what the disciples notice and what Jesus notices. What the disciples want to talk about and what Jesus wants to talk about. Now, it should not surprise us that Jesus lifts up this poor widow here throughout the gospel. Jesus has said some pretty radical things like, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And here he lifts up this poor woman as an example of faith and faithfulness. And the disciples start talking about how beautiful this temple is. They can't see the hidden secret greatness of the meek widow. Instead, all they can see is the ornate grandeur of this building. This building that was built on the backs of people like that widow. Jesus is focused on the kingdom and its mission. The disciples are concerned with buildings and stones, timelines and predictions. Jesus says, in essence, this widow is the one you should be looking at and paying attention to. Here is the kingdom at work in your midst. And the disciples say, "Lord, look at these beautiful stones and how grand it all is." And Jesus tells them, "As for these things you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left on another. All will be thrown down." Instead of asking questions about their role in all this, "Teacher, why will this happen? Why will the temple be destroyed? Teacher, how should we live and what should we do?" All they want to know is, when will this happen? What will be the sign? The disciples are living with a sense of fear of what is to come. That widow, by contrast, was living by faith. She was not afraid to put her last coins in the temple treasury. But the disciples have not yet learned those lessons of faith. They just want to know when it will happen and how they will know. And Jesus doesn't answer them. When he answers them, he says this, "Beware that you are not led astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them." Well, that's not an answer to the question, "Lord, when will this be and what will be the sign?" When you hear of wars and insurrections, he says, "Do not be terrified. These things must take place first. The end will not follow immediately. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes, famines, plagues, dreadful portents, and great signs from heaven." But these are not signs that the temple was about to be destroyed, which did happen, by the way, in 70 AD, about 40 years after this conversation took place. These aren't the signs that the disciples were to look for. Jesus doesn't tell them to look for any signs. Rather, what does he say? Do not be terrified. Don't be afraid when stuff like this happens, because it will happen. But the end will not follow immediately. It's not a sign of the end times to come. And just as the widow was focused on God and God's faithfulness, Jesus urges the disciples to focus on the mission that is at hand. Beware that you're not led astray. These things Jesus mentions that might sound scary to our ears, that might sound like a sign of the end times to come, it's really an acknowledgement that distractions are bound to happen. There will be plenty of opportunities to be lost, carried away, led astray. Beware that you're not led astray. And he warns them of people who will come in his name and says, do not go after those false promises of salvation. Terrible things may happen, wars and uprisings, but do not be terrified. Jesus never gives them a timeline. He doesn't tell them, here's how it will happen or when it will happen. He simply warns them not to be led astray by all the dreadful stuff that's going to happen. At our Bible study this past week, we read this passage together, this list of bad things, and we pointed out it's kind of difficult to find a time in history from the time of Jesus to now that these things haven't happened pretty much somewhere in the world on a daily or weekly basis. My whole lifetime, I've seen plenty of false messiahs and fake salvation, not just street preachers, but sales pitches. My whole lifetime, I've seen wars and uprisings somewhere in the world, nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. I've seen earthquakes, famines, and plagues. These things happen. But these are not a sign of the end times. These are signs that we live in a broken world into which Christ came to save us and to call us to his mission field. Jesus is not listing a blow-by-blow account of how the world will end or how the temple will fall. Instead, he's warning his disciples that many distractions, many blows, many hardships will come and threaten to lead them astray. Many bad things will challenge their faith and their faithfulness. And truth be told, it is no different for us today. We read this list of hardships, and it's really a wonder that any of these folks continued following Jesus after these predictions. But of course, for the early disciples, these predictions happened. Throughout the book of Acts, these things happened. The early disciples, while loving others in Jesus' name, were hated and persecuted. They were hauled into courts to testify to their faith. Some of them were killed. And yet the mission and ministry of Jesus spread throughout the world through their work. It seems the church is at its best when the world is at its most volatile, its most violent, its most divided and dangerous. And that is good news for us today. You see, Jesus does not give us ways to predict the end of the world. Rather, he gives us resources to cope and to persevere and to remain faithful even as the world flies apart at the seams. When the world lashes out, God gathers us in. When the world seems filthy, God washes us clean in the waters of holy baptism. When the world starves and struggles, God feeds us with his own body and blood at this communion table. When the world speaks words of violence and hatred, God gathers us in here to hear words of eternal life and love. There are many in our world who are terrified. There are many who live in fear and uncertainty. Some of those folks may be in this room right now. You may be one of them. We have a powerful reminder today of God's faithfulness, of our priorities, of our calling as God's people. And we are indeed called to bear the gospel to a broken, hurting, and terrified world. And we are to live not for the great, magnificent stones, but for the poor widow. We are to focus not on the grandiose, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. What Jesus said to those frightened, curious, distracted disciples, he says to us today, do not be led astray and do not be terrified. Powerful reminder in this world we live in which being led astray and being terrified are the easy options, the default setting. How easy it is to be consumed by fear, to be led to trust in anything other than God and God's faithful love. It happens to all of us. It happens to me. Maybe I shouldn't admit that as your pastor from the pulpit, but you're not alone. Fear rather than faith rules our lives more than it should. We are here today to be reminded of God's trustworthiness, of the faith we're called to live out and live in. Today is such a reminder for you and for me. God has called you here today to renew your faith and your trust in Him. God has called you among these people to experience the life and ministry of this place. We are those sent to care for widows. We are those sent to share the good news of Jesus with all. And when so many voices in our world tell us to ignore the widows, to get our own share at the expense of others, we need that reminder today. We need to meet here regularly to be encouraged, to be equipped, to share the good news with all whom we meet. So this week, in the midst of whatever wars and insurrections come our way, in the midst of nations and kingdoms rising, in the midst of persecution and hardship, famine and earthquakes, I urge you to heed Jesus' reminder and warning. Beware that you're not led astray. Remember his promise. Not a hair of your head will be harmed. By our endurance, we will gain our souls. Amen.